Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the August 2024 episode of Fox Chatter. It's me, Vito, here with Casey Watson again, recording this episode. We'll have my soon-to-be replacement, Colonel Trip Bose, in here in a little bit. And for our talk today, I'm going to mostly keep it to things internal to the 169th Fighter Wing and things that have just been going on lately to catch you all up and where I see things going in the next few months. I hope everyone is having a great summer. Unfortunately, it seems to be coming to too rapid of an end because school, I think it starts earlier every year. But we're back into that time of year again. But we've had a lot going on lately. So it feels like a long time since the last time that we talked. And a lot has gone on, a lot of really cool things. So I'll try to go chronologically as opposed to like the coolest thing, because I would say the coolest thing was Caribbean Fox. But we'll save that for a few minutes. Earlier in July, we did a visit up to the Capital Region for State of the State. And State of the State is basically where we take a bunch of our leaders. We go to the Guard Bureau, which is also known as the Air National Guard Readiness Center, which is on Andrews Air Force Base. And we meet with the staff there, and we talk about our issues, and they talk about their issues with us, and we argue about it for a bit, and then we hug it out, and then we kind of move on. We brought a bigger team than we normally do up there because it was both my experience and my impression that we don't have enough knowledge of that building. I would say I was kind of late to the fight going there, learning about what makes that place tick. And I'm trying to get some of our leaders there a little bit earlier in their career. So we brought a big team to get people comfortable with it because I would say this is a very human thing. One of the things we know is when you have a personal relationship with people, you're more likely to get things done. And when we just email with the staffers at NGB and we're at odds about something, it's a lot easier for them to say no. But if we know them and they can picture us and they know that we're nice people from South Carolina, we are more likely to succeed. So that was one of our agenda items as well. And so we went there with a laundry list of things to move forward. And we actually were delivered a couple of immediate wins, which was we weren't sure we were going to get. Most of the things, though, they were very neutral on, and I would say it was more of a relationship building type of day. So we did that. We did our State of the State, and then we did another day where we spent in downtown DC, and we started at the National Guard Association. And I think some of you have deleted this email and some of you read it, but I encouraged membership in the National Guard Association and then in Ingus, Naugus and Ingus, a few months ago. And we went down to their buildings in downtown DC, and it's a big, beautiful building. And so Naugus and Ingus are lobbyists, and they lobby on our behalf, and they get a lot of things done in terms of legislation for us. And when we come to town, they like to host both the guard unit and our congressional staffers. And so they hosted a breakfast for us where we got our staffers together. And so they came down for breakfast. And basically, Naugus has professional staffers and they present our agenda to them. And we have a captive audience over breakfast. And then we're able to establish those relationships, kind of like the same thing I was saying at the Guard Bureau yesterday, but now with congressional staffers. So think not Joe Wilson, though actually Joe Wilson was there, but Joe Wilson's staff and Senator Graham's staff. And so we got to establish or build some of those relationships, get a status on various legislation. Like, so for us, as you all know, our priorities are making sure we have a mission in the future. So recapitalization for the Air National Guard in South Carolina is a high priority. That is a very difficult objective to achieve. And it's really just foundation building is where we're at. There's no specific target to go after. But there is legislation pending that can help slow the degradation or retirement of fighters down. And so we're supporting that so that no other units close. It's a step along the way. And then at the same time, looking for some money to get us the SIMS and the SIM building that we're looking for. So we did that, and that was an interesting morning. It was another great kind of exposure for your future leaders of where you need to have a little bit more knowledge, the kind of, you know, unfortunately, we'd love to think it's just about fighting wars and preparing for them and deterring our opponents and helping out our state. But unfortunately, it takes politicking as well. And so, you know, like it or not, there's a skill set and a level of information you need to have to be effective at it. So we grew that base amongst the leadership. And then we met with some of the staffers and actually the congressional members. In general, the congressional members probably aren't going to meet with people from just the Air Guard at our levels, at the wing level. But if you bring the tag with you, they will meet with the tag. So when the tag comes along, which he did in this one, you actually get to meet with the members, which is exciting. It's always the few times I've gotten to do it, invigorating to meet our actual congressional members. Sometimes we get, I think, a little bit embittered by watching the news cycle and seeing that, and we start to get a little bit jaded. But my experience has been when I meet them, they're very impressive people, and I'm immediately reminded that, you know, it takes a real smart, motivated person to get elected to Congress. And they are sharp, motivated people and various levels of interest in the military, right? They all have different priorities and very eager to help. And I would say the two members that are retired from the National Guard, which are Congressman Joe Wilson and Senator Lindsey Graham, are the ones who are the most educated and the most interested. So very strong allies of us because they are us. They were us. They're retired from us. They were a member of us for, I think, both of them for 3 decades in the military. So that was a great day. And then for our third day, I went in a little bit of a different direction for State of the State. I wanted a little bit of a re-blue and also to expose some of our leaders to the Pentagon. And the Pentagon is a very interesting place. It is honestly almost like a museum. It's incredibly interesting. They have art along the walls everywhere, pieces of history everywhere. And so for me personally, I find it to be a very motivating place. It's a great reminder of our history, what we do. Sometimes I get a little lost in the shuffle of the day to day, and this was just a great reminder. And so we went to the Pentagon for a day. We held some strategic talks to kind of validate where we're going, what our vision is for the next few years, where we need to make adjustments. And then we did that in the Pentagon setting, got some briefs as well from some members of the joint staff there as well. So overall, a real good visit. And I would say as your leadership team came back, we came back as a tighter knit group and I think more capable. So that was an exciting thing that we did in early July. That led almost immediately into Caribbean Fox. And Caribbean Fox, I would say, was a smashing success. And so if you went, I think you had a really good time. If you didn't go, I want you to go next time. And I want to expand it. And we need to do more of this. Before I talk about kind of my big lessons from it, I want to say some thanks. I think I spent about half of the last podcast just saying thank yous to a number of people, and I don't think it'll be quite this long this time, though I really want to give some shout outs because Caribbean Fox was something that we dreamed up for a long time, but we didn't have the money for it. And then when the money arrived, it had to get thrown together fast. And Captain Trey Murphy, Mr. Rob Wright and Lieutenant Colonel Bago Madrid were the architects of this, and they just did a phenomenal job, and they had to work their tails off to get the airlift, the hotels, the space at the airport reserved, all of the logistics, making the money work for everyone, getting the units, getting the tanker. It was a lot of work, and it was building the plan, building the script for it, helping with the commander's intent. They worked with the IG team on that. The IG team did a great job as well. Lieutenant Colonel Way, Lieutenant Colonel McConkey, Master Sergeant Reese just all did a great job on that as well. And so it was really good. And the other thing I want to give a huge shout out to, and she's going to be embarrassed because she's sitting right here, but is the PA team. So Senior Master Sergeant Casey Watson has just been phenomenal setting this all up. And then we had Lieutenant Zeus, down there with us in the Caribbean, and Tech Sergeant Picalzo, and then back here, Master Sergeant Gina Floyd and Captain Lisa Allen, and our PA team. I just want to talk about them for a little while because they just have been knocking out of the park lately. And I think Caribbean Fox just really showed that. Their teamwork with the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, all of the things they put out on social media, they were a force multiplier down there, right? Like, it's what you envision public affairs, what you want them to be, is able to enhance the mission, able to get the message out of what we're doing and do it in a way that the public relates to and that all of us relate to, with great video, great photos, great little snippets, not too much, not too little. And without them putting that out there, our mission would not have been as successful. We would not have been able to have the support that we had from the locals there. We would not have had the involvement that we had here. The amount of people commenting on social media, liking the post, is just incredible. And so I think we all know, like, various shops have their ups and downs and their high water marks. And I would say the public affairs shop right now is in an absolute high water mark. And so Casey's here and she's smiling and just thanks. You guys are just doing awesome. So I just really appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate the feedback and the support from everybody. And I'm very proud of the team and the work they did down there.
Well, you guys are knocking it out of the park. And it has really been a pleasure working with you for the last year. So Caribbean Fox itself, like I said, I think it was incredibly successful. It achieved our objectives of going to a place, a civilian airfield, without the facilities and the resources that we normally have, crammed into a small hangar and trying to make it all work with a mission. And the team just did great at that. And the attitudes were awesome. The scenarios were exciting. The learning was great. You didn't even need a scenario at times, because when you go to a place like a Caribbean island where they don't have all the resources and you're operating out of a hangar and there aren't enough air conditioners and things are breaking, you have your own injects there and it turns into a problem solving exercise. So I just thought that was great. And I love the fact that we then, at the end of a pretty modestly sized day, would go back to a wonderful hotel in the evening that was right on the beach and have a great time. So I thought it was also a great morale building event. So it was, from my perspective, exactly what we envisioned of learning and having a great time at the same time. And if I could tell you to take one thing away from it, it would be that those are the kinds of things we should build. Now, they're not always possible. You can't always do your training on a Caribbean island, but when you can, you should, because it is a great opportunity to reward people and also get good training out of it. And so there were just a lot of real positive comments, and I really appreciated everything that occurred. All of that being said, now here's the super mission side of Vito. We can do better. We can do better. Like, we made a lot of mistakes. And I smile when I say that, because it's okay to make those mistakes, but as long as we learn from them and as long as we're better next time. And so I think we need to be a little tougher on ourselves next time. And I'm not saying we needed to be tougher on ourselves this time. I'm just saying we've learned enough. We can be tougher on ourselves and we should have a really high standard. And I hope we go back a year or a year and a half from now. And I hope that we have captured the lessons and that we do even better next time around. I would say, like, our growth in terms of being able to do ACE or Agile Combat Employment and be mission-ready airmen or multi-capable airmen has grown exponentially in a year. And I am super proud of the wing for that. What I would actually say we struggled with more is a little bit of the basic stuff of things that, back when we used to deploy every other year in 2010, 12, 14, 16, 18, we were really good at that stuff. And a lot of those people are gone. And we haven't done it as much. And so one of the things I would just want to say is that struck me is we have to keep doing these types of things, because we need the experience. We need to understand that we've lost a lot of the experience that we used to rely on. And we need to keep doing this type of stuff. We need to be good at loading and unloading things. We need to be good at setting stuff up. We need to be good at having checklists on what to remember. We need to remember the nuances that all of our middle managers need to have ingrained in them on how to do things really well. And it comes from experience. It only comes from experience. You can't pretend loading a C-17. You have to do it, and you have to experience all the things that can go wrong when you're loading something up, and the ways that people that are crafty solve them and solve them quickly. And that's what we need, are crafty problem solvers and experienced people. So Caribbean Fox, awesome, great experience. And here's the last thing I'll say about it. Units got out of it what they put into it. And that's, I don't say that as a critique of anyone, but as a encouragement. In this day and age, we're not getting enough guidance from the Air Force. So we have to be creative. Build your scenarios, be creative with your scenarios, challenge yourself. Otherwise, you might find yourself a little bit bored and a little bit like, man, we could have done more out of this. So that's what I take from it. And it was awesome. And thanks for everyone for putting that together. The next step, you know, that we have in this cycle of ACE, right? And the cycle, the way it should look would be, you deploy, you get off of McIntyre, which is going to be contested. You get to a place, you set up your operations there, and then you go to another location and are able to do that contingency location. And then when you're flying, our pilots are training at a high level. And I would say over the last year, we've done all of that, except for one part, and that's the getting out of here in a contested environment. And that's what we're going to do in October. So the last, I would say, step in this first phase of being an ACE capable unit, we're going to experience in October, and we're going to do it, great news team, with the IG watching us, which doesn't intimidate me in the least, and nor should it intimidate you. And our emphasis is going to that. It was called a midpoint for a while. Now they've changed it to a rev, or a readiness evaluation. And so our rev is in October, and it is going to be a contested generation, which means we need to generate the airplanes and get them out of here. We're going to generate several other combat support UTCs, and we're going to deploy them out of here, and you're going to be opposed to some extent. And what does that opposition mean? It could mean something like small teams trying to get onto our base. It could mean UASs trying to hinder us, either kinetically or non-kinetically. It could mean cyber challenges. Any of those things is what a contested generation means, and we need to get good at that, because you can just use your creativity and imagination for, you know, the type of havoc that a UAS could cause, or a small team getting on base could cause. And I think we are used to having dominance in our own home area, and we need to understand it might not be that way. And so we're going to practice that in October. And so the emphasis of the wing is very rapidly going to shift to that in the next couple of weeks. So it's a couple of weeks of downtime. And then I think what you're going to see is a little bit of an August drill. And then as we get into September, and definitely September drill, is going to be practices for a 4-day generation in October for the readiness evaluation. And I have high confidence we're going to do great on it. We just need to practice a little bit. We are also, I would call that kind of the fun part of it. We also get inspected on our self-assessment programs. Those, it is my best understanding, are ungraded, because it's the midpoint. We get graded on those at the capstone in 2 years, but we need to show progress. And I would say, much to your credit as individuals, you focus on the mission and really hate the idea of doing evaluations. And I resemble that remark. We need to knock some dust off that. And you're going to hear it from your commanders starting pretty much immediately, that we need to knock dust off our self-assessment programs. And we need to, by the time they show up in October, put yourself in their shoes. If they look at us and like, you guys have hardly touched your stuff for 2 years, well, they're going to be angry and unhappy with us. And whether we get a grade or not, that's not great. What we need to show them is that, well, yep, we haven't maybe done these at the level that we would like to over the last couple of years, because we've been focusing on the missions, but we identify it and these are our fixes, and we've already started implementing the fixes. So that's, we don't have to have everything fixed by October, but we have to identify the problems and make some progress. So don't wait for your commander to tell you. You know what your self-assessment responsibilities are. And if you don't, ask the question. Ask what you should be doing with MCT these days. Ask what your self-assessment responsibilities are. Help, just like we do with ACE. stuff. Don't wait to be told. Be aggressive about what you need to get after. For the next segment, Colonel Trip Bowes, who's going to be replacing me as the wing commander on August 10th, so probably right as you're getting ready to listen to this, he's either already taken over or about to take over. And I thought, I'll give credit to Casey for this. She thought it'd be a great idea, and I thought so too, to bring in Trip and just kind of introduce him so that you guys can get to know him a little bit more and his background and what he's all about. And Trip has been, I will tell you, he's been wanting to get on this podcast for months. He's super excited about it. And honestly, he feels about like I did at the beginning. Like, I was uncomfortable with the idea, uncomfortable in the room, but he's going to be awesome. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Trip before I give it over to him, is that Trip is great. And I think Q put it really well in that he's the best of us. And he has an incredible background and credibility built over years on active duty and years here. And what I will say is I have really appreciated having him follow me in multiple jobs, because he and I view things very similar in terms of what we want to get to, but the way we go about it is not always the same. And I feel like he frequently, things that I will focus on, I might neglect some things, and then he is really good at those areas. And so I feel like we've been very complementary in jobs in terms of making sure things are hit. And I would feel like, you know, certainly like in the wing command, I think from Q to myself and now to Trip, all different kind of priority items. And so don't be surprised when things change a bit. And I would say it doesn't bother me and it shouldn't bother you. It's good to have different focus areas and clean up things that may have been missed. But I think you can have strong confidence that we're rowing in the exact same direction. And like I said, I feel great about bringing Trip in. So with that, Trip, why don't you stand up and tell us about yourself?
Happy to be here. I love doing these. This is great.
Exactly.
So the awkward question, you always got to talk about yourself. I'm Sean Bowes. Go by Trip. You'll see Daniel in emails as well, but call me any one of those three names. I'll probably respond. So anyway, I was born and raised in North Carolina in a small town called Roxborough. Got interested in aviation there by going and flying with a few people. So decided I wanted to try to be a fighter pilot. That worked out, getting me a scholarship to ROTC at University of North Carolina. So went there, majored in math, and then got picked up to go to NJEP at Shepherd. So the Euro-NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training with all of our foreign partners, which was really cool. And then that's an automatic bid to T-38s and down to the fighter track. From that, went out to Luke for F-16 qualification training. And then from there, we moved out to Idaho, to Mountain Home, when we still had F-16s there, which are actually some of the same jets that we fly today.
That's right, 370.
So I started off flying those Block 52s there, did a four-year tour before that squadron got bracked and became a Strike Eagle squadron. And then we got moved to Sumter. So I spent 4 years in the 55th at Shaw. I went to weapons school from there, and then after that four-year tour, got picked up to go back to weapons school to be an instructor. So spent 2.5 years there before coming out to McIntyre and getting hired. So it's been great. I've flown Block 50s my entire career, 52s at Nellis and at Mountain Home, again, where basically the same jets are flying today, a bunch of the same tails. That was my journey to McIntyre.
Yeah, man. So I just pause on one thing. So weapons school instructor, for people who don't know, is the pinnacle of fighter aviation. And so not only did Trip go to weapons school, graduate from weapons school, which not everyone does, so it's really tough to get in, and then it's tougher to graduate. And then he was asked to go back there as an instructor, which we have several of, but Trip is one of those. And so it just speaks to his incredible credibility in the airplane. And they also make you into a great officer and a great leader there. So you get that just awesome training that he went through and that tactical credibility, which I think is never to be overlooked, because he carries that with him everywhere he goes. And it is a strong reflection of the Swamp Fox. We have him and several other weapon school instructors.
Yeah. Then after getting here at McIntyre, let's see, I was the weapons officer initially, did that for a few years, then moved over to Stanoval as a lead evaluator pilot. Out of that, started following you through all of the follow-on assignments. So from there was the PM, the program manager back in the CCZ, and then moving up to the squadron command, and then now to the OG, and now following you once again.
This is the fourth time Trip has to clean up my messes. This is essentially what it is. It's just cleaning up my messes, like whatever I've done. I've always looked and I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't. He's doing that way better than me. That's really good. I'm glad he's doing that better than me.
No, I think you paved the way and you've set everything up for me for success. Same thing with Q before. So
yeah,
it's easy to follow somebody that's done a good job. Whenever we institute changes, it takes a while for those to occur. So you can't ever say that something that happens is due to the person that's always in the seat. A lot of it was stuff that was put in motion years and years before that just takes a while to catch on.
Yeah. So like I said, Tripp's going to be awesome. He's grown into it for years and I'm excited for him. I'm excited for you guys all to get to know him. And I think you're going to really like his leadership, his dry sarcasm. I always appreciate that. Even when it's directed at me, I still appreciate it because it's really good and it'll be appreciated within the wing. Anything else you want to talk about, Tripp?
Looking at the way forward, where we're at and where we want to go. It's probably a good time to start thinking about that. Like you said before, I mean, you said we kind of row in the same path. Well, I just try to make sure that path is downstream.
Yes.
I really don't like conflict, so I tend to steer away from that. And if the current's going a certain way, I'm probably going to at least initially float with the current. I will side paddle, though, to get out of a rip current, not in the wrong direction.
That's good.
So I don't think a lot of changes really need to happen. There needs to be change, but I think those changes are incremental change. So we always ask for like 110% out of people, but that seems like a daunting task when people are already doing so much work. So I think a better way to probably describe it and look at it is making incremental improvements. So if we just ask for a 1% improvement in everything we do, over time, that's going to equate to the 110%. And now you're taking all those changes and you're making them in small doses. So like we often say, McIntyre's a big ship. And we got a little rudder. If we put a big rudder movement in and we try to make a quick change, well, that's just going to upset everything and we're going against the current. And that's not the best way to get where we're going. So instead, let's make little small changes where we need to and see where they go. Not really 100% sure what all those changes are going to be. We're still evaluating. We need to get in and find out, you know, truly where we're at. Like you said, the rev coming up in October is obviously a focal point where somebody outside comes in and evaluates you and grades you. That's definitely going to be a major milestone that we need to be prepared for. But on the heels of that, we're also going to WESSEP and we're getting ready for ONE.
Yeah.
WESSEP, while it's going to be a good time down in Tyndall, it's an evaluation as well. And that's where our maintainers and our weapons troops are all going to be evaluated on how well and how quickly they can load an aircraft for combat. And then our pilots are going to be evaluated on how well they can employ those. And those obviously carry over into our everyday mission, which is sitting alert and then being ready to go deploy at any time. All are brutally important to us as a Swamp Fox, which leads back to kind of our culture. I look at the McIntyre as a brand. Every time we travel somewhere, people stare at our patches and they're like, "What? Why do you have this,
it is iconic.
This Swamp Fox head on everything you have?" I'm like, "Oh, because we're the Swamp Fox." And they're like, "Well, what is a Swamp Fox?" And it takes you back for a second because you're like, "Well, I thought we live in it. We all kind of know." And then you have to explain to them that it's our logo of our unit, and then it represents the entire base. It's everyone. And that's the one thing that can unite us all is that we all wear the same patch. We got to continue that brand. So it just takes one bad incident to kind of tarnish your reputation that you took years to build up. So if we all get behind that brand and we protect that brand, then that'll produce longevity. It'll produce pride in where we work.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then that hopefully returns into recruiting and retention, which we know are vitally important in today's society, where it's
critical.
It's a challenge to get people to give up all the other lucrative opportunities that they have in the outside world. That's the benefit of the Guard as well. We got the citizen soldier, and it gives people an opportunity to serve and to continue their other career ambitions they have in the civilian world.
Absolutely. That was a great intro. Really appreciate you coming on today and looking forward to hearing your podcasts in the future as well. Trip and Casey and Gina's here nodding as well. So thanks to all and thanks for coming in today, Trip. Looking forward to continuing working with you, brother.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of guest speakers in the future. So we'll fill the time with other people's voices.
I recommend Mitch Duncan. He's always a touchdown. All right. And then the final thing I want to say is, since this is my last episode of Fox Chatter, and it's going to be hot in the hangar, and I'm not going to talk as much there. So I'll just take a few minutes now just to say a few things that are on my mind. And the first one is a thank you to everyone in the wing. I just want to thank all of you for giving me the opportunity to be your commander over the last year. It's certainly been the largest honor of my career, and I'm kind of blown away by it. It's one of the biggest honors of my career that I was able to earn your trust. I took that with a lot of responsibility. I felt an incredible amount of responsibility for filling the trust that you gave me, and I would say I poured my heart into it over the last year. For me personally, there's been a lot of growth, and I would say not just over the last year, but over the last 5 or 6 years while I've been in various levels of leadership. And what I've really appreciated is the growth in the wing too. The last year has just been awesome, and seeing the way we've all embraced going after the Pacific pivot and getting after ACE training has been incredibly motivating to me. Allowing you all to kind of run with things has been incredibly motivating for me to see and powerful. And honestly, would keep me going on days where that were more challenging, just knowing how many motivated people we had in the wing, and it just kept me going. So I thank you for that. And it was great to let that energy loose. Some people have asked me, like, well, Vito, what are you doing? And it's only been a year. And I guess here's what I'd tell you. And we're all different, but I would say it's just kind of time for me to focus on other things. Honestly, I almost did it a year ago. It was almost time to go in a different direction then. And I'm so glad that I stuck around for another year. And like I said, it was the biggest honor that I've had. But it is time for me, and I just tell you all this, and it's okay when you reach a time when it's time to focus on other things and you realize you've put other priorities and family on hold for a while, and you just realize that it's time, then nothing but respect, whether that's 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years, we all reach that point. And whether that is, like in my case, I would tell you, I need a little bit of space, and being a DSG is going to give me that space to focus on other priorities that have been put on the back burner for a long time. So I'm incredibly honored to be able to continue. So I'm going to continue in some capacity that is still to be defined. And I'm very honored to be able to continue with that. And I'm just really appreciative of being able to be your leader for the last year, and you all allowing me to do that, and your embrace of the priorities and the mission focus has just been phenomenal. So thanks. The other thing that ends for me is going to be flying in the F-16, and that is very difficult for me, but the change of command is going to be in the morning of the 10th of Saturday of drill, and then my finis in the afternoon. And so you're all invited out to come on and have a drink. I'll land around 1500, and then we'll go back to the bar and have some chicken nuggets and some beers and drinks. And I'd love to shake as many hands as are out there, and happy to share that moment, because I think it's a moment for all of us. So thanks, and hope to see you out there over drill. And it's been a great year. Much appreciated. See you all around.
Can I throw in a thank you?
Yeah, of course.
Since this will be the last podcast we have you with, yes. Definitely thank you for all the support you've given us over the past year and starting this podcast and just being willing to grow with PA, because I feel like this has been a big change, and mainly because of your support. We just really appreciate it.
It's been great. And you and your team, Casey, are just awesome. Like I said, it's the high watermark. And when the idea of this podcast, which I'll still give Nightmare credit for, because this was his idea to start with, I didn't know how it was going to go. I felt like a fish out of water doing this at times, and I've become more comfortable with it each time we've done it. And so I think it is a very powerful tool to talk to people with, and I think we're going in a great direction with it. So thank you. All right. See you.